One of my Rebbeim in YU is Rav Willig, Shalita. Rav Willig always talks about Chumash and Rashi. Everything is in Chumash and Rashi. I have another Rebbe, a little younger than Rav Willig, his name is Rav Shai Gerson, Shalita. He also always talks about Chumash and Rashi. And it's good to always focus on Chumash and Rashi. So this year, I thought of a new thing, I never did it before, that every Sunday, Bezrat Hashem, Yom Rishon, Rashi, Rishon, Rishon, Rashi. I'm gonna go through the next parsha, Ki Teitze, and pick out famous Rashi's, things that like every Jew should know these phrases, every Jew should know these hashkafic topics. Rashi has so many things that are just part of regular the Torah Masoreh. Recently, Rabbi Neuberger Shlita, Rebbe NYU Bergenfield, gave a shiur about Rashi. And he said that people nowadays are learning Rashi much less than they used to, which is true, for sure in the Gemara. Because of art school now, people learn Rashi a lot less. Because sort of, you know, if you have the English art school, you sort of think you don't need Rashi. And also in Chumash, people... that's what we're going to do. We're going to try Pesvat Hashem. I never did this before, so we'll see how it goes. And I picked out the Rashi's on the Chumash, on the Parsha. This way, as you learn Chumash and Rashi during the week, you'll know what to focus on or to... And we'll see exciting, important ideas in Chumash and Rashi. You got it? So here we go. Parshas Ki Teitze. I really think that if you know this Chumash and Rashi's, you know a lot about what it means to be a Torah Jew. One more thing, this Rav Shai mentioned in other contexts. For the last roughly 1,000 years, people have been doing this. Now the Jews for the last 1,000 years have been learning Chumash and Rashi. So it's part of what it means to be Jewish, to learn Chumash and Rashi. So you should know Chumash and Rashi. Here we go. So Perek Kaf Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is the parsha of Eshes Yifas Tohar. You go to war, and there's a beautiful woman that you want, who's not Jewish. The Torah tells you what to do. So there's a famous Rashi here. Rashi Dibur Amaskil V'lokachta L'cho L'Isha. You'll take her for a wife. So Rashi says, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer HaHara Shim Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Matira Yisa'ena Be'Isser, etc. There's a famous Rashi. What does it mean? The Torah spoke against the Yetzer HaHara, that if Hashem didn't say it's mutter, you would have married her anyway. In other words, during a war, you're fighting, the men have the Yetzer HaHara's out there. So they find this beautiful woman. So Hashem understands that there's a big Yetzer HaHara to take her and do things that are usher. So Hashem says, look, I'm going to find a way to make this mutter. That's the phrase. Lo dibra Torah el keneged Yetzer HaHara. So what does this mean? This means that if Hashem thinks something is beyond our abilities, then what did he do? What did he do? He made it mutter, right? Found a way to make it mutter. So what do you learn from this Rashi? What do you learn from this Rashi? That everything else in the Torah, if something's usher, then what? Then what? You're able to do it. This is a crucially important Rashi. It's from the Gemara. Rashi's saying, this thing, this Yetzer is so hard, so challenging. Hashem found a way to make it mutter. That's what Rashi means. It would have been too hard. You couldn't control yourself without it. So what you learn from this Rashi also is that things that are really usher, even though it seems difficult, challenging, you're able to do it. This is the phrase, Dibra Torah Ella Keneged Yetzer. Okay. That's one famous Rashi in the Parsha. Next, Perikuf Beis Pasuk Zion. Perikuf Beis Pasuk Zion. This is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. You find a nest and eggs in the nest and the mother bird. You chase away the mother bird and then you take the eggs. That's a mitzvah. We had this in my house. What? No. It was on the ledge. It was not in my house, on the ledge. And some poskim say, if you don't want it there, then it's automatically hefker. In our upstairs room, Bezat Hashem, you'll see, well, I don't know if you see the upstairs room, in our laundry room, a bird came and was nesting on the ledge of the window. And then I saw eggs there. So I was going to just get rid of him because my wife was grossed out by it. And I said, wait a second. Before I get rid of it, maybe we have a chance to do shilokhakein. And I looked up the sugya. And many say that since, in other words, if you own it, then there's no mitzvah if it's yours. But and if something's in your chatzer, we'll learn this during the year, Bezat Hashem. Your chatzer can acquire something for you. So your windowsill can acquire something for you. But a lot of poskim say that since people are grossed out by these eggs and the birds, then even though it's in their chatzer, they don't really acquire it. So I can't say we did the mitzvah shulchan. We didn't say a bracha because of a suffix, but we did a mitzvah. Anyway. Now, so what does it say? You send away the mother bird, and then what does the Torah say? L'man yitav lach v'arachta yamin. Hashem will reward you. You have a long life. You get a long life for this. So Rashi here tells you something very important. Rashi, Pasuk Zayin. Look in Rashi. Pasuk Zayin. E mitzvah ka l'shem b'chisaron kis. Amra Torah l'man yitav lach harachta yamin. Kal v'chomer l'matan scharin shel mitzvos chamuros. You get tremendous schar for this easy mitzvah. This mitzvah shulchan kain takes very little effort, no money at all. Doesn't cost you anything. You shoo away the mother bird. For us, the mitzvah, the challenge was that we had to climb onto our dryer to get to the windowsill to get the, that was the challenge. Climbing onto the dryer. Okay, whatever. So what do you see from this Rashi? There's a lot of schar for mitzvahs. If an easy mitzvah, quote unquote, like shulchan kain, you get tremendous schar, then kal v'chomer what? A harder mitzvah that costs money, that a tremendous amount of effort, you get even more schar. So the lesson of shulchan kain is there's tremendous schar for mitzvahs. Got it? Good. Next. Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Tes. These are all the world famous Rashis. Here we go. There are certain goyim, certain non-Jewish goyim, that even if they convert, you're not allowed to marry them. Okay. So the Torah says that for Edom and Mitzrayim, you can only marry the third generation. They can marry regular Jews in the third generation. If one of them converts in the first, if one of them converts, he can't marry a regular kosher Jew. He marries other Jews, whatever other game or other Jews. And by the third generation, they're mutter l'vobakah. That's for Edom and Mitzri. But for Ammon and Moab, it says in the earlier psukim. So lo yabo amoni v'amoni b'kal Hashem. And Ammon and Moab, their descendants can never marry into regular kosher Jews. So the Torah is, this is interesting. The Torah is more strict about Ammon and Moab than it is about Edom and Mitzrayim. That's what you see in the Torah. Why is that? Why is Ammon and Moab worse than Edom and Mitzrayim? So Rashi tells you, and it's an amazing Rashi. It gives you a whole mindset about what life's all about. Look at Rashi, Pasuk Tes, Kaf Gimel Tes. Rashi says, "Vishar ha'umos." Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. "Vishar ha'umos mutarim biyad," and other nations are mutar right away. In other words, if it's the average nation, not Edom, Mitzrayim, Ammon, and Moab. So when they convert, they can marry regular Jews. Perek Kaf Gimel Pasuk Tes in Rashi. Kaf Gimel Tes. Now watch this. Halamadata. It's amazing Rashi. Shehamachti lo adam kashelo min ahargo. If you cause someone to do an avera, that's worse than killing them. Why? Shehahargo. Hargo b'olam hazeh, v'amachtio motzim in olam hazeh min olam haba. Rachman Lutzan, if someone kills a Jew, okay, he killed him, killed Olam Hazeh. If someone causes you to do an Aveira, then you're killing his Olam Haba too. And Olam Haba is more important than Olam Hazeh. So, Edom and Mitzrayim attacked us physically, and they killed Jews physically. What did Ammon and Moab do? Ammon and Moab, in Parshas Balak, Ammon and Moab, they sent the women to seduce the Jews to do Averis. So since Ammon and Moab were involved in causing the Jews to do Averis, Hashem punishes them more severely than Edom and Mitzrayim, who only tried to kill us. So this teaches you that Olam Haba is important, and mitzvahs are important. And the Ikar in life is Ruchnius. That's what this Rashi is telling. Lefichach, Rashi says, Edom shekid mein b'cherev lo nitav b'chei Mitzrayim. They are totally an abomination. You can never marry them. So this is a very, very big deal. Rashi here is teaching us that a person's ruchnius life is more important than anything else. You got it? And that's why Hashem punishes the Ammon and Moab. They're treated more severely than Edom and Mitzrayim. It's an amazing Rashi. Got it? Okay. We'll do two more. Let's go to the end of the parsha. Kaf Hei Yud Zayin. Two very famous Rashis here. The end of the parsha. This is the parsha of Amalek. Okay. Now it's interesting. Yet whenever you learn Chumash. And Rashi always focuses on this. One of the big things that Rashi focuses on, the connection of the psukim. Why is this parsha found right after another parsha? That happens all the time. So most of us don't think about this. What's found right before the parsha of Amalek? Look in the Chumash. Pasuk Tezvav. Evan Shlema Batzedek Yeloch Eifa Shlema Batzedek Yeloch. Your measures have to be honest. You go to a store and you buy meat in the store, you buy vegetables, and they weigh it. So if a guy who owns a meat store puts in the bottom, a quarter of a kilo, a quarter of a pound. So when you buy 1 pound, it says a pound and a quarter. This guy can make thousands of dollars, right? If every time you weigh the meat, he adds a little. So it's a very easy thing to do. You're not going to notice. So there's a special law in the Torah. Don't do that. Don't have your weights and measures. Don't cheat in your weights and measures. Okay? Good. And what's the next parasha? Amalek. So what does Rashi tell you? Look in Rashi. Pasuk Yud Zayin in Rashi. Zoche Sher Socha Amalek. Im Shakarta B'midos Uv Mishkolos. Have a doeg migira oyev. If you lie about your weights and measures, then what do you have to be afraid of? The goyim attacking you, a war coming. And he quotes the psukim. What do we see here? We see here that our approach to the world is that the ruchnius world is what generates things in the gashmius world. When Amalek attacks, so you open the newspaper, they attack because we were weak. They attack because of this. Those are the Derech HaTeva reasons. But the real reasons are the Ruchnius reasons. And when you fight a war, you have to focus on the Ruchnius things. There was a war this past summer in Israel. And everyone was talking about that you have to focus on the Ruchnius as well. And when the war started, Rav Willig Shliter wrote an essay. It says when Am Yisrael fought Midian, it said they sent 1,000 soldiers from every shevet. What does the Medrash say? That with the 1,000 soldiers who went, there were another 1,000 who stayed back, who were learning, and each guy learning was for one guy who was fighting. Because when you fight a physical war, What do you have to have in the background? The Ruchnius battle in the background. You got it? Rav Nevensohl, during the summer, when he was writing his Divrei Torah, they mentioned these things. So that's this Rashi. That's this Rashi. That if you want to be successful in fighting a war, you have to have good soldiers, you have to have an army, but you have to make sure your Ruchnius is good. If you're cheating in your business, you're not going to be successful in war. You got it? That's this Rashi. Finally, the world famous Rashi, that everyone has to know this phrase, Amalek. So Amalek, they're considered the worst of the worst. The worst nation, the worst of the worst. What's the phrase that captures Amalek? Look in Pasuk Yud Ches, Asher Karcha. Karcha. What does Karcha mean? What does Karcha mean? What? Happen. Oh. So the Pashup shot is Rashi is Mikra. It happened to happen. They happened upon you. That's a whole shear. The whole shear is that Amalek, they happened upon you. Amalek's essence is Mikra. That's a whole shear. But there's the world famous Rashi. Karcha means cold, cool down. So Rashi gives you the mushel. The whole world was terrified of the Jews. Why were they terrified of the Jews? Kriyas Yamsuf, everyone heard about it. All these miracles, everyone's afraid. And Amalek attacked. Once Amalek attacked, then, oh, it's okay, it's possible to attack the Jews. So they, in a sense, cool. So what does Rashi quote the famous mashal? Anyone know? Oh, you have a boiling hot bathtub. Everyone's afraid to jump in. It's too hot. One guy jumps in. He gets burnt a little. But once he jumps in, it cools off the bathtub a little. So the next guy is easier to jump in. That's Amalek. You got to see this Rashi. You have to know this phrase. Good. A lot of you knew it already. Did you know it was Rashi? This phrase of the bathtub thing? Oh, it's Rashi. It's good. Okay, here we go. Look inside. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches. Here we go. It's the third pshat in Rashi. Ashon kor v'chum. Sinecha u'v'yivshircha meritzichascha. It cooled it off from the heat. Shahayu ha'umos yireim lihilachayim b'chem. They were afraid to attack. Uvazeh v'hizchil v'hera makom l'acherim. Moshe l'ambati rotacha. She'en kol beri yichol l'ered b'tocha. No one can go in. Ba ben b'liyal. Echad kafatz v'yardu. He jumped in. Afal pi shenich v'he got burnt a little. Hikros, they cooled it off. B'fnechem for others. And then everyone else can attack. So Amalek, the whole world believed in Hashem. The whole world heard about the miracles, was afraid of Hashem and Am Yisrael. Amalek says, we're not afraid, we're denying Hashem, and they jumped into the bathtub and they attacked Bnei Yisrael. Got it? That's Asher Karcha B'Derech. Okay. So there are more, but we're trying to keep it to 15 minutes. These are famous Rashis in Parshas Ki Teitse. If you know the famous Rashis on the Chumash, you know, the more we hear of Shai, the better.
A couple of things in terms of Rashi in general. One of the big things about Rashi is that Rashi had the ability that no other Rishon has to speak to multi-levels of learning, which means you can read Rashi on a level of a child, you know, children. Children used to read Rashi and Cheder, and they were able to follow it and get the basic idea.
They're smiling. You know why they're smiling?
Because they're the children.
I said that in Shir. Uh-huh. On Thursday. Great minds think alike. Okay, yeah, go on. Okay. Yeah.
Now, the other, but it goes deeper and deeper. I'll give you an example. Rav Ginsburg mentioned the Rashi about Yefas Tor. So if you read the next Rashi there, Rashi says that Umas HaOlam, they use their daughter in order to seduce enemy soldiers. Okay, why does that matter? So it matters on a couple of issues. Let's ask ourselves the moral issue. Okay, let's say you got a lot of Yetzer. It's still not fair to this girl. What? Someone's actually going to rape her, and God allows that? Where is justice here? So that's what Rashi came to do, and Rashi says, they are not a victim. They're not an innocent victim. They are part of the enemy warfare. they use their ability. Now, if a woman tries to fight with a man, unless he's a wuss and she is a karate champion, he's going to lose statistically. That's what happens. But a woman has a field of strength that very few people can defeat, and that's her being a woman. So Rashi says, the justification, the moral justification, comes from the fact that we don't perceive them as like, you know, these innocent girls just happen to have been there. When you read the Chumash says, make sure that they're not pretty anymore. Why were they pretty? It's a war. They're not just pretty. They're part of the war effort. Now, there's being part of the war effort in shooting you, and there's being part of the war effort in trying to shoot you down, in terms of, like, you know, to weaken your strength by all sorts of things. So now, when after you read this, and you go back to the previous Rashi, the Rashi that Rav Ginzburg read, Lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzer hara, what does that mean? That the enemy is using your yetzer hara against you. And you don't even realize that. So you can read the Rashi just on a simple level and say, yeah, well, you know, men are men, and then that's it. Which is true. But you can also read Rashi and think about it and ask yourself, wait a minute, there's the moral question. So Rashi deals with that too. Now, if you're a careful reader of Rashi, you'll be able to come up with that too. So that's in terms of, like, I was just trying to demonstrate how Rashi has multi-levels in terms of, like, how we understand it. Okay? So that's one thing. The other thing is the fact that people have been learning Rashi for generations. The big thing about Rashi is, if I was to ask you, what makes the Jewish people unique? So, the wrong answer would be the Bible. That's the wrong answer. Most reader of the Bible, believe it or not, are not Jewish. The reason the Bible is the biggest bestseller of all times is because most of the readers are not Jewish. Because if you think about it, there are very few Jews out there. Like, you know, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Out of that, like, let's say 13 million is not a lot. So most people who read the Bible are not Jewish. So what makes the Jews Jews is not the Bible. It's the Tanakh combined with Torah Shabbat. Where does that come from? That's mentioned in the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says that our covenant with God was not just for Torah Shabbatah, but also for Torah Shabbatah. Now, Rashi's big deal is to attach Torah Shabbatah and Torah Shabbatah, and that's the uniqueness of what makes us Jews. Because otherwise, you know, you could be like a Shiksa housewife in the Midwest that reads the Bible. You know, there are a couple of those running around. You can ask Rav Ron. He once had a match in Bible against one of those housewives, and she actually beat him, but don't mention that. So what makes it special is Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, the first person to bring Torah Shabbat Peh in a consistent manner is Rashi. Now, whenever we read Rashi, we see that, okay. But, like, more and more you're exposed to learning, more and more you'll be in tune to what Rashi is really doing. And you'll find that Rashi is, in fact, not the easiest Rishon, but rather the hardest Rishon. And that's that's about it.
Who was the first person to learn Chumash with Rashi?
Rashi's dad,
okay. Very good. Okay, guys. Are you awake? Very good. Okay, that's what Shai's doing. Very good. Okay, good. They got it. After,
which
okay,
means
good.
You're not born Rashi. You die Rashi. You're born Shlaimala. But you die Rashi.
It was worth it for that. Okay, good. We'll stop here. Okay, now.